You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. Let's go right to the phones. And joining us, he hasn't been on for a while. He's been too busy. Ronnie Castiglione. Ronnie, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Terry Wickstrom. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. I understand you're on the water at Horsetooth, or is that where you're at?
Yes, sir. I am on Horsetooth Reservoir this morning, and we're out here, and we're catching a lot of fish and having a good time. Quite a few boats on the lake this morning. You know, there's a bass tournament going off, and there's quite a few recreational boats out and about. So people are out on the lake, even though the lake's only been open for a few days, Terry. But water temperatures are still very, very cold out here. There's no doubt about that, Terry. I'm looking at 40 degrees on my graph right now. You know, ice really just came off this reservoir 2 weeks ago. So it's early in the year action that we're seeing, but we're having no problem catching fish, Terry.
Now, how do you approach, you're a multi-species angler, you like to chase a variety of species. What was your game plan going out there today, and have you stuck to it, or have you had to adapt?
Terry, you know, every year it seems like I just do things in reverse that I did in the fall. So last year, as we were, you know, late fall into winter, we were doing a lot of vertical jigging, looking at transitions, looking at areas of the lake where the bait fish might be pushed up to a point or pushed up to a transition where the rock changes. We've been out this morning looking at a lot of those same spots, and we're finding fish in those same areas. I can tell you this, Terry, last night when I got into my boat and looked at the rods I had laying on the deck from late last year, those were all the same rods I wanted rigged up with the same presentations to get out early this year. So I don't change up a whole lot. I just kind of backtrack from what I was doing in the fall, and it seems like just kind of following that year in and year out, you know, keeps me consistent.
Now, you said you're doing some vertical jigging. Or is that with metal like spoons and blades and jigging wraps, or are the Ronnie darter, or are you using more soft plastics and jigs?
Well, mostly the metal baits, Terry. We're looking at blade baits. We're looking at darter baits, things like that. Really trying to elicit reaction strikes from these fish. The water is cold, like I mentioned. These fish are relatively lethargic, but if you can get one to bite on a reaction-style bait, it's kind of been my experience that you're going to run through a whole bunch of them in real quick order once you get the school fired up. So the blade baits have been working. The darter baits have been working. As we get later in the day here, I'm going to start throwing some jerk baits and maybe winding some crank baits a little bit shallower, because I expect some of these fish to move up onto the bank once the bait fish that we're kind of looking for move off from the shore and suspend. And so that's kind of the key thing to understand, Terry. When we get out here early in the morning this time of year or late in the fall, early in the morning you'll find schools of smelt or schools of shad. They'll be deep. They'll be 40, 50, 60 feet deep, and they'll be touching the structure. They'll be pushed right up to the bank. As the sun gets real high and bright in the sky, a lot of times what we see is those schools of smelt will pull out off the bank. They may be at the same depth. They may still be at that 50 to 60-foot range, but they'll no longer be making contact with the structure. It's been my experience that getting out there and fishing when they're like that, it's tough to get those fish to play out there in open water. But a lot of times a good portion of the fish that might have been deep early in the morning feeding on the bait fish that were pushed to the structure, those are the fish that tend to slide up later in the afternoon, and you can target those fish a little differently with something like a jerk bait or grinding a crankbait real deep, Terry.
Arna, are you finding mostly bass, a few walleyes? What species are you finding out there?
So far, it's been all smallmouth for us, and that's kind of not a surprise. We haven't really looked at the areas where I suspect the walleyes to be. We're probably pre-spawn right now up here at Horsetooth with the water temperatures being as low as they are. But these fish usually move to spawn, as far as the walleyes go, in just another week or so here. And so later in the day, we may go poke around some of those real kind of 45-degree medium riprap banks that we know these fish like to spawn on. We'll just look a little bit deeper out on those banks and see and kind of mark and see if we're seeing any fish on our electronics. And then we may go about trying to catch some of those walleyes on something like a little paddle tail swim bait, just working it real slow along the bottom, or trying to get those walleyes to react to one of those darter baits or something like a blade bait. You know, if we were here later in the day and if it was getting dark and we were kind of focused on that evening, then I would definitely be looking at that jerkbait bite this time of year up here at Horsetooth, especially, Terry. I know a lot of guys have been out. They've been walking the banks already up here and have been having success with that jerkbait bite. Middle of the day like this, that jerkbait bite's a little bit tough to get going on those walleyes. So that's kind of the way we're going about doing it, Terry.
You got a few tips for people. You know, we talk about the darter baits. You make one of your own called the Ronnie Darter. There's the Johnny Darter from Berkeley. There's a jigging wrap for people who are familiar with that. Do you have a couple tips, the way people should approach that, or mistakes you see people make fishing that lure?
Yeah, Terry, throw them where you're not going to snag them. That's probably one of the biggest tips I can give you. You know, you can get out here and you bang your head against the wall trying to work those kind of presentations on top of this riprap and on top of these points and on top of, you know, a lot of this stuff that's super, super snaggy. But, you know, if you understand what the banks look like under the water, how these rocks transition under the water, then I tend to focus on those transitions. I'm looking for those areas where the rock spills off and either turns to gravel, which I'm less likely to get snagged in, or where those rocks kind of transition into dirt. And I tend to focus on those areas. So it's one of those deals, Terry. It's kind of a spot-on-spot sort of a thing. So you can run to a point on this lake right now, and you can fish right on top of the point with a blade bait or a darter, and you're going to snag it. You're going to lose them. There's no doubt about it. But if you look deeper on either side of that 45-degree bank going off to the main lake, or if you look on the bluffy side of that point and just kind of picture in your mind and understand what that water looks like, you know, what the structure looks like under the water, focus on those areas where you can work those presentations. You know, it's my experience, especially early in these years, as these fish move out of the real deep basins and start to work their way up and move around a lake like Horsetooth, they tend to utilize those transition areas as the highway areas. And I've even seen videos in the past online of underwater footage of smallmouth and walleyes really just kind of focusing and moving along those transition areas at the base of the rocks. And that's kind of what we're looking for, Terry. We're looking for those areas. Getting snagged with those presentations on a body of water like this is definitely the biggest issue most people have trying to utilize those kind of baits.
Now, I have one other quick question. Well, I have two quick questions. We're going to have to make them short. But one is, when I fish a glider-type bait, I tend to use a little softer tip in the rod, but I don't want to go too soft. I want enough backbone where I'm moving that bait. But when you do hook up, if you don't have some give, a lot of times they'll throw that bait pretty easily. How do you?
Yeah, they will. They will, Terry. There's no doubt about it. And in my experience, I like utilizing fluorocarbon rather than a braided line for that kind of a presentation. And I know a lot of guys like to use the braided line, but if you're going to use the braid and work these kind of presentations, then you got to either soften your drag up, especially as that fish gets close to the boat, or like you're talking about, you got to have a rod that's got some forgiveness in the tip to account for the fact that those fish are going to kind of, you know, dart away and rip and jump and shake their heads. You got to have that sponginess in the rod. I go with fluorocarbon, and I go with kind of a medium heavy casting rod or a medium heavy spinning rod. And the rod itself is relatively stiff that I'm utilizing, but I get stretch from that fluorocarbon. And I also do play my drag quite frequently, Terry. So I know once I get a good fish on and it's getting near the boat, I'm going to back that drag off to compensate for that surge. But it's just understanding that it's a big, heavy piece of metal that you're utilizing, whether it's a blade bait, whether it's a spoon, whether it's a darter. And, you know, those fish will shake their head and they're going to surge. So you got to account for that. That's one of the big keys of being successful in landing this fish. Hooking them can be relatively easy a lot of days. Keeping them pinned can be tough.
Now, we only got about a minute or two left. If you were going to head out to Boyd today instead of Horsetooth, would your tactics have been different?
It would have been a little bit of the same. I would have been looking for gravel relatively deep on Boyd. Primarily, I'd be looking for walleyes right now on Boyd and maybe some smallmouth on some of the gravel and some of the harder banks that you can find, some of the concrete, things like that. We see a lot of walleyes early in the year out in front of the riprap areas on Boyd. You know, they're probably in full-on spawn mode at that lake, if not already done, that kind of a thing. This time of year, I also like running up onto the flats if I'm going to look for largemouth on board, the North Flat, the Southern Flat, kind of those areas that are going to warm up a little bit faster, really paying attention to my graph, looking for the warmer water, and I'll utilize things like a bladed jig, you know, a chatterbait, that sort of a thing, or really ripping a rattle trap in and around the grass that's starting to grow in. I'm still looking for a lot of reaction strikes this time of year on that lake, so I'm not slow dragging a lot of presentations, but that's kind of what I would be going about doing. Also on board, the trout are going to be real, real easy right now. So if you're just looking to get a rod bent and you're looking to get some action, if you troll around Boyd and spend some time doing that, you're going to have no problem catching trout on a shallow running jerkbait or on something like a flicker minnow or a flicker shad or a spoon or just kind of the usual suspects, Terry. So that would kind of be how I'd go about it.
All right, my friend, we are out of time, but thank you for joining us. If people want to get a hold of you, how do they do it?
You can get me, Ronnie, at Fishful Thinker. You can find me, Ronnie Castiglione, on Facebook. And, you know, I'm still kind of in pause mode this year as far as guiding, Terry. You know, I'm waiting to get vaccinated so that I can get out and get some clients out. But we'll just kind of have to see how that goes. But there's a chance I'll still be, you know, I'll be doing some guide trips later in the year. So just contact me if you're looking to get out. And if I can't get you out, then I'll put you in touch with Chad LaChance or put you in touch with Dan Swanson. And those guys will do their best to get you out.
All right, my friend, you and I need to get out very soon on the water together.
We will. Let's try to do it maybe this week.
All right, we'll talk to you very soon.
All right,
thanks, buddy. Ronnie, you bet. Ronnie Castiglione. We're going to take a quick time out. We come back, we're going to change things up. JR is going to join us from Colorado Clays, and we're going to talk about dogs and shotguns and about turkey hunting. All that and more coming up on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors and 104.3 The Fan.